again, thank you so much for joining us right here on Progressive Radio Network. And this is Gary Nell's Network, Dr. Zamperone and I bring you every week the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and we're so happy to be on board at Progressive Radio Network. For one reason is, if you listen on Tuesday at 10 a.m., you will catch the show live, and you can call in with your questions. We'll open up the line for some questions later in the show today. But what's really important also is that if this isn't a good time for you, you can call in, you can listen in any time you want on the archives by just going to prn.fm, that's Progressive Radio Network, and listen to the archives. You can scroll down the list of shows, go to shows, you'll find our show under N, that's for Natural Nurse, and you'll also find a very long list of extremely interesting radio shows that bring you the best information online all the time. And today we have as our guest Dr. Holly Lucille. Dr. Lucille, also known as Dr. Holly, is a nationally recognized and licensed practicing naturopathic physician and television and radio host. She's an acclaimed expert in the field of integrative medicine, and she lectures throughout the nation on natural health topics. On today's show, we're going to focus on Dr. Holly's newest book called The Healing Power of Trauma Comfrey. And we love to talk about comfrey. It's an herb, which we do quite a bit here at Nature's Answer. And we're going to talk about how comfrey offers a safe, effective, and simple way to address sprains, strains, wounds, and back pain. So thank you so much for being our guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Yeah, you guys, thanks for having me.
You know, Dr. Holly, you've been on our show before. We're very happy to have you back. And I've also seen you, I believe it's on the Varia channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Varia Network, it's a fairly new health and wellness network, probably about 4 or 5 years old. And we did a show about a year ago that's, I think it might still be taping, or excuse me, airing, called Mystifying with Dr. Holly. And it was basically about taking all these overarching myths, you know, like acai makes you skinny, or, you know, all fat is bad fat. And we kind of created a talk show around it just to get down to the nitty-gritty and either prove the myth, bust the myth, but really mostly empower the viewer to kind of get around the seductive messaging sometimes that happens in our industry.
I love that. I really do, because so much of what you're saying is 100% true. And, like, let's think about where the blame would lie, if there is any blame. You know, of course, it's on marketers who are trying to promote products, but also on consumers who are looking for that same sort of one bug, one drug, instant fix mentality.
Yeah.
And well, they're sort of searching for that, and they want someone to tell them that that's true.
And I completely agree with you. And one of the biggest messages I have with my vocation in general is I think it's power to the people. And when I mean that, you know, I don't think there's anything more healthy than being able to take control over your health, seriously. And when I see people getting seduced, you know, it's just, we just need to help the seductible. I would say, or seducible, because it's true. What I want to do mostly is help people use their own minds. Help people, you know, there's that old saying, knock them dead. I want to help knock people alive, to start thinking again, to not want that silver bullet, to know that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, and to really put the dots close together so that the people can connect them. I always have taken that word primary care provider, you know, the whole, like, hey, do you have a PCP, primary care provider? I'm like, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we all be primarily in charge of providing care for ourselves? And that's being able to ask good questions. That's being able to take responsibility for anything you put into your body and not just get seduced by this, that, or the other thing. You know, I think that we've often, you know, heard that this is the information society. I actually think we're rolling pretty hard into the misinformation society. And so I don't want to just be another talking head out there. I want to help facilitate understanding. And that's where people can go, oh, okay, I get it. And then they can own that for themselves and try to get people not to need me. That's kind of how, so I completely agree with you.
Well, let's go back in time a little bit and share with our listeners here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, how did you first get interested in natural medicine? What led you down that path?
Oh, my gosh. Well, so I grew up in the Midwest, the daughter of two pharmacists. Yes, my father climbed the corporate ladder of one of the largest pharmaceutical companies pretty much my entire life. And it was my health care back then. I mean, it was basically, I think my parents didn't know any better, just like many conventional Western doctors don't know any better, because actually they're taught to think this way. It's like, here, take this. You know, here, take this. Here, take this. And even at a really young age, I was just, there's something that seemed not right about that. And it was when I was sort of in, you know, that stage where I'm like, what do I want to be when I grow up? I took a volunteer class at a hospital. I thought, maybe I'll, you know, we'll see what this is like. And then when I was in that volunteer class, I noticed that when people were admitted into the hospital, they lost some of their rights, like their rights to privacy or their right to choose. And I felt so uncomfortable. Like, I felt like I had to get in and make a difference. And so I became went to a bachelor degree school nurse, got a nursing degree. And, you know, the same way that I drove my parents crazy with all the questions that I would ask about the here, take this approach, like, well, what's it going to do? You know, how much does it cost? Is it going to hurt me? Is there anything else I could do that's better? I started to ask those same questions to my nursing instructors, and I thought, I just must be a difficult person. This just must be my fate in life to push the grain the other way, or however that saying goes. But what it turned out is that I was searching for something that was out there. I just didn't know it. And when
Well, what did the nursing instructors tell you when you questioned?
You know, it was kind of like, you know, this is you know, you follow the doctor's orders. It was still that sort of, I guess I would say, reductionistic approach to healthcare. And I was like, so when I found, here's what happened. I found the American Holistic Nursing Association.
It was Me one too. Of the, isn't that the greatest? Yes.
Yeah. I was one of those life-changing moments. I think I was probably on some sort of mailing list, but I got the Omega Institute catalog, and I was flipping through it. I'm like, what's this? And I was like, you know, this workshop on holistic nursing. I picked up the phone. I called immediately. The president, Vita Andrus, at the time, she answered the phone, and within 2 weeks, I was signed up for their postgraduate course, and I was off and running. And that weekend, I think I flew to Milwaukee. It was just like the first time I ever felt like I truly came home, in a sense, where, you know, and I realized that it wasn't the education that I had, that it was just how you got to apply it to people, the way that you could look at things more comprehensively, the way that you could, you know, really focus on the individuals and the multitude of contributing factors that people have that relate to how they're showing up clinically or in their lives and stuff. And so then it was actually through the American Association the Holistic Nursing Journal that I stumbled on this thing called naturopathic medicine. I was like, well, what's this? And so that just, it was my next natural step, and here we are.
That's a wonderful progression, because when I found the American Holistic Nurses Association, I had been a nurse a long time, because I became a nurse in 1973. But I was doing holistic medicine long before that.
Right.
I was actually delivering babies at home in the late 60s, because there was no alternative then. It was just be strapped down. There were no birthing centers. So many, many people hundreds of people chose to have their babies at home to avoid the, you know, chemical interventions that were the only choice in the hospital. I think that's come a long way, where we have now nurse midwives that are actually part of hospital settings, which is even ideal, because we can have a birthing center and have the best of both worlds. But we didn't have that option then. And when I came across the Holistic Nurses Association, it was just what you said. It was like an epiphany. Oh, my goodness, you mean healing and nursing could go together?
Yeah, isn't that awesome? And, yeah, I just – and those women, too, you know, I just – I graduated from my bachelor's degree in 1990, and then I still was this young, sort of like looking. I've always felt like I kind of had my umbilical cord in my hand, trying to figure out, like, are you my mommy? Are you my mommy? And that, those women too, with just like that, very, you know, kind of yin type healing, balanced energy. I just thought it was so important and something that was missing in my education when it came to cultivating and helping other people heal as well. And so it was just a really, really amazing experience for me.
Now, which naturopathic school did you go to? Because they have different characters, although they all lead to a very high level degree.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. People say you're a doctor. I'm like, yeah, I got the student loans to prove it too. You know, it's like, it's a, you know, anytime they say they question my education. But I went to the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in Tempe, Arizona.
That's a wonderful spot, and I actually have taught there myself. And it's a great option if you like warm weather, because otherwise you have Bridgeport National and Bastyr, you know, up in Seattle. So it's great that you
have
a warm weather.
One in Chicago now too, which has been, you know, really.
I didn't know that. What's the name of that?
Yeah, so that's kind of fun.
Is it accredited?
Yeah, they're in their process. It's linked to, I think it's the national, I don't have that down right now.
But it's in Chicago. I'll look it up. See, I love to do radio because I always learn more, too. I didn't know there was a fourth school.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know, because that's a growing, you know, certainly a growing profession and an excellent profession. And
yeah.
I certainly hope that there is national licensure shortly so that everybody can benefit from the kind of knowledge that a naturopathic physician has. And many naturopaths are now becoming integrated into some very mainstream settings, such as we're having a speaker, Dr. Gio, and he's a specialist in naturopathic urology, and he actually works at a major medical center right along with MDs in Manhattan. So basically, it's certainly a growing art in terms of its recognition and the best option to go towards what they say they want to go towards, which I don't actually see, let's say, in more national healthcare systems, which is prevention. Because naturopaths truly understand prevention. It's not just about mammograms and vaccinations.
Yeah, you're right. It's about prevention is the cure. It's one of the biggest things that, you know, it's those principles that we practice. And that's the cool thing that I love in my practice, because, you know, people say, you specialize, and I'm like, or, you know, what would you do for this? And the answer truly is, like, I can't work without somebody in front of me. You know, I can't work without, because everybody presents in a different way. And as long as I follow, hey, first do no harm, right? So, yes, there are drugs and surgery, but there are so many things that we can do before that that are least invasive. I mean, certainly botanical medicine, dietary recommendations, lifestyle alterations, interventions and such, clinical nutrition. Sometimes, you know, just having and providing a safe place for somebody just to be heard and to be validated is huge. And so, first, do no harm. Identify and treat the cause. So get to the root cause, you know, really ask those good clinical questions, have great clinical acumen, and so we can heal from the inside out and not just suppress symptoms. And then, yeah, always, always practice prevention. Very, very important.
Right, and prevention really is truly linked to lifestyle, diet, and then the use of herbs. And, of course, that's what we're going to focus on today, is, though we'll have other topics as well. But you wrote a beautiful book called The Healing Power, and you called it Trauma Comfrey. How did you come up with that name?
Well, because I think that Comfrey has been around for a long time. I do a lot of things in my life that create trauma to my body, not really on purpose, but just because I'm very active. I'm a CrossFit, you know, athlete and coach. I, you know, tend to be somewhat of a daredevil and riding horses and motorcycles and hang gliding and just kind of bouncing around and going out to the backcountry and taking a backpack. And I just love to do just be to do things. And so I'm constantly just getting pounded. And, you know, I think for me as a 48-year-old athlete, I would say, and just person, you know, it's not about being able to go out and do that. It's always really about recovery and taking care of myself. And so this particular Compre that I came, that I stumbled across, it's just so amazing for exactly what it's called, trauma. I mean, when you think about sports injuries for me, but, bruises, wounds, pain, sprains, strains. I mean, I was so thrilled with it. I just wanted to give it some attention for sure.
And, you know, it's something that people can often grow in their yard. It's an absolutely gorgeous plant, I think.
Yeah,
it does spread
really
all over the place.
Yeah.
And it doesn't grow in Arizona too well. It's a little too
no.
hot, dry.
Yeah, but yeah, people have been growing it for a long time, and you're right. It's so pretty.
Now, here at Nature's Answer, we've been selling herbs commercially since 1972, so we're definitely one of the oldest purveyors of herbs in the marketplace, and we always sold comfrey. And it was certainly one of our favorite herbs and also a favorite herb in the marketplace for years and years.
Yeah.
But then why don't you share with us what happened in terms of research that actually kind of pushed comfrey off the market?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things, and we, you know, we always are learning. We're always learning, I think, about these lovely plants. We're always learning the pharmacognosy, so mechanism of action, like how they work. I mean, when I was in school, you know, yeah, I had to take pharmacology over and over again, you know, semester after semester, because we do, as naturopathic doctors, we can prescribe medications in a certain scope as long as we're still following our principles. But gosh, the harder courses was those botanical classes where we just had to, and one of the things that we started to understand about comfrey is that they have a compound in them, a certain alkaloid, pyrrolizidine alkaloids, and we'll call them PAs, okay, that they actually, some of are toxic, and they've been shown mostly this particular PA to cause liver damage, okay, and contains, now, comfrey leaves, let's say, contain some of those alkaloids, but the highest concentration is found in more of the root of the comfrey plant, about 16 times more than the leaves. And some forms, we found out, specifically known as Russian comfrey or prickly comfrey, have higher PA levels than any other common comfrey, and what research suggested that consuming either low amounts of comfrey over a long period of time or large amounts in a short period of time could cause a blockage of small veins in the liver that could start to lead to stuff like cirrhosis and then eventually liver failure. So that is certainly something that we got concerned about in this industry and really wanted to, you know, guard against.
Well, is the research, was it done on humans, or are most of the studies done on highly concentrated comfrey and rat studies?
That's correct. I believe those studies were highly concentrated. However, some did show that just low levels of these alkaloids consumed would pose a risk. But they also could be absorbed through the skin. And so it was alarming enough to folks that, but they were conducted mostly on animals. But I think it was alarming enough that there was potential carcinogenic properties. There was one study by the National Center for Toxicology Research that found that chronic exposure to these PAs, okay, in laboratory animals did induce cancer of the liver. So it was enough to actually get our attention, you know, and in first do no harm, the last thing we want is for somebody to be, you know, using something where there's potential harm. It kind of makes me think of, did you see the movie Into the Wild.
I didn't. Is that good? I'm going to write that down.
It's a lovely movie. Yes, it's great. Into the Wild. And so I won't spoil the plot for you, but plants and these lovely things from our earth are so beneficial and so medicinal, but there are some things that, that we have to be careful of. But luckily we have a PA-free comfrey now available, and that's also why I was very, very excited about the trauma comfrey because I use it all the time. I mean, I gotta tell you, I have a tube of this, so it's a topical cream, right? I have a tube of this, like, in my purse, at my desk at work, in my, you know, that drawer that everything, you throw everything into, whether it's paper clips or scissors or the stuff in the kitchen, right? I have in there. I have it in my backpack. I have it in my book bag. I have it in my, we call it a WOD bag, because in CrossFit there's workouts of the day. My WOD bag. I have it everywhere, and I use it a lot. And the thing for me, you know, I'm trying to keep up with the 20-year-olds these days, and like I said, it's so important for me to recover well, and this particular plant is a big part of that for me.
So, you know, we're going to just go to a little break right here, and we'll hear about a natural medicine chest that Dr. Zamperin and I put together. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion about herbal medicine, and in particular about comfrey, with our guest today, Dr. Holly Lucille. We'll be right back with more right now on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss Sarsaparilla, or Smilax officinalis.
Sarsaparilla is a tropical plant which grows in South America, Mexico, and Guatemala. Although most Americans are familiar with it as a flavor enhancer for root beer, it has also been used for its beneficial properties for hundreds of years by many different cultures. In Roman times, the young shoots were eaten, and the mature vines were worn as garlands at festivals of Bacchus. According to ancient Roman writings, Sarsaparilla originated when the beautiful maiden, Smilax, was turned into a shrub after her love was slighted by the young crocus.
Sarsaparilla was brought to Europe in the 16th century by Spanish traders. A French physician, Nicolas Monardus, published a comprehensive account of Sarsaparilla as a treatment for syphilis in 1574. During Portuguese military operations in 1812, a British inspector general of hospitals noted its positive effect on syphilis patients. It has also been used in China for treatment of the same condition. Sarsaparilla was included in the United States Pharmacopoeia until 1950 as a recommended treatment of secondary syphilis.
Sarsaparilla's medicinal action appears to be a result of binding bacterial endotoxins in the gut, thereby decreasing their absorption. This greatly reduces the stress on the liver and is likely responsible for its historic use as a tonic and blood purifier.
In a controlled study of 92 patients published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1942, a chemically active component of Sarsaparilla, called sarsaponin, greatly improved psoriasis in 62% of the patients and resulted in complete clearance in 18%. Sarsaparilla is often recommended by naturopathic physicians for gout, arthritis, and psoriasis. Another folkloric use for Sarsaparilla is as a tonic for male sexual potency.
So, if you want a root beer flavored tea with a long history as a healthy tonic, reach for the Sarsaparilla in your natural medicine chest.
For joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and you're here with your host, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com on the web or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. We love to have your comments on Facebook about other topics, perhaps, that you'd like to hear on the radio show. And we have a lot of things on ground available for our listeners, for those who'd like to join us in person. In fact, we have the American Herbalist Guild, and I am the vice president of the Long Island chapter of the American Herbalist Guild, and we have meetings all the time, usually at the Oyster Bay Library on Long Island. There's also a New York City group where we study about herbal medicine together and learn how to use it for yourself and your family. You do not need to be a member of the American Herbalist Guild to come. It's open to the public, and there's no charge. So that is the American Herbalist Guild local meetings. We also have the American Holistic Nurses Association meetings going on all the time, and there we discuss, like we're talking tonight with our guest, today with our guest, Dr. Holly Lucille, about the natural medicine and its integration into mainstream medicine. And truthfully, that's happening by leaps and bounds because that is where the evidence leads. So thank you so much for coming on board today with us, Dr. Holly Lucille.
Yeah, Ellen, it's always my pleasure. Thank you.
And I want to reintroduce you. Dr. Holly is a nationally recognized and licensed practicing naturopathic doctor, as well as a television and radio host. And she is an acclaimed expert in the field of integrative medicine. She lectures throughout the nation on natural health topics. And today we are focusing on her book, The Healing Power of Trauma Comfrey. It's a beautiful book. It's full color. It's something you can actually take with you in your purse or in your car. It's laid out. It really makes information about how to use comfrey very, very accessible. And I'd like you to know that you can call in today, right now, on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. The call-in number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. If you'd like to ask a question of myself, Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, or our esteemed guest today, Dr. Holly Lucille. Dr. Lucille, let's return to comfrey, because it's very interesting that you did share with us the fact that, you know, there are many herbs that have no toxicity linked to them, and yet comfrey, you are backing up the fact that comfrey actually does have some very well-done studies on its possible toxicity. And I will say that here at Nature's Answer, although we did sell comfrey for many, many years, since we've been selling herbs since 1972, when the studies on the toxicity of comfrey came out, the FDA did mandate that it could no longer be sold on the market, at least as an internal use item.
Yeah, so has that was 2001.
Mm-hmm. So has that been reversed in terms of its availability on the marketplace as a topical agent?
Well, I think what we needed to do is go out and cultivate a better comfrey. It would make sense. I mean, with all the benefits of comfrey, I mean, you think about just how beneficial this plant is. To search for a variety of comfrey that is free of these alkaloids.
Oh, so this is not something, they don't grow it and then extract out the toxins?
No, this is actually, it's pretty amazing. There's the PA-free, it's got unique healing qualities just like any other comfrey, but it's being grown in the foothills of the Bavarian Alps, believe it or not, nestled among the rolling hills on the land. There's this monastery, and it's so unique, this unique variety of comfrey, because it's not genetically modified. It's organically grown without pesticides, herbicides, or chemical fertilizers. It's harvested by hand. The freshly gathered leaves, stems, and flowers are processed in a laboratory in Munich, and they're free of PA. So this isn't something that is, the alkaloids are actually extracted out after grown. These are PA-free form of comfrey.
And so they certainly could have encouraged that, not through genetic modification, but normal, you know, on-ground hybridization, where they found some plants that were lower or do not have it, and then they proliferate that variety.
Exactly. And that's why I'm so happy about it, because, like I said, in the amount that I use it, I think it's really, really important, and I feel very safe about it. And you think, you know, you're, to your point, as far as like some of the research that was done and that got the FDA's attention, and the fact that these alkaloids could hint to any sort of liver damage. You know, I also think about in our modern day all the other things that actually contribute to somebody's liver maybe underfunctioning or not functioning efficiently enough. And it's just not, it wasn't worth the risk for me. You know, even though if that risk-benefit ratio, when you're in the medical mindset, it wasn't there for me. I think that the risk potentially outweighed the benefits. And so I was so happy when I stumbled upon, and that's why I called it Trauma Comfrey.
And that's a name that you made up, or is this a specific company kind of?
Yeah, so who manufactures this is Terry Naturally. And so it's the, they packaged that up. And it's because it's exactly what it's used for. And I love when natural products kind of will tell you exactly what they do or tell the consumer exactly what it does right on the package. You don't have to, you know, go like, what's that for? You know, this is basically, it says it right there.
And what is it mixed in with if it is a topical agent?
So let me grab my tube right here. So have you, I mean, have you used this at all? I mean, do you
no,
have
any? No, I never even heard of it. I never heard of it.
Well, I got to make sure that you
because I still actually use Comfrey itself. I have no problem with it. I make my own homemade salve, as millions of herbalists do. I just went to a conference called the Florida Herbal Conference about a week ago. It was in the on a 500-acre Boy Scout camp in the middle of Florida in a very rural area. And every herbalist that I spoke to there still grows and uses Comfrey for themselves, even
awesome.
Though there is some toxicity issues. You know, you just use less or you use it topically. And this is so nice to know that there's actually a low PA Comfrey available. If anything, is it possible to get a hold of some of those seeds so that that variety could be more prolifically grown?
Exactly. Well, we'll have to go to the monastery. I think we should maybe take a trip over there to go.
That sounds good.
Bring it back.
That sounds great.
But and I also I think that I want to make sure that you get a tube of this because you're gonna fall in love with it. Because basically, I mean, it's got that purified water. It's got the extract of comfrey, which is PA free. It's basically mixed with a little bit of rosemary oil. And some vitamin E and citric acid. It's so lovely. The other thing I love about this particular topical cream is that it's, I can put it on before I go to bed and I don't have to worry about my sheets. I can put it on actually after I get out of the shower, before I put my clothes on, I don't have to worry about my clothes. It's not oily at all. It just basically rubs right in and it starts working.
So it's not greasy.
It's not greasy at all, and it smells great. You know, it's like you don't smell like, you know, with the old Tiger Balm or Bengay per se, and that's one of the other reasons, you know, besides smelling like that and knowing that, okay, you're definitely healing or there's been some trauma. The reason a lot of people are taking a lot of the, you know, things that also do, as we know, damage potentially to the body, especially acetaminophen, is because of aches and pains, headaches, etc. And so if I can introduce something that I feel is safe and effective and then at the same time stop perhaps the use of NSAIDs, you know, that are just kind of, I mean, the use, like everybody from a hangover.
Okay, well, you and I know what NSAIDs mean. But
okay, so the NSAIDs, so you think about the NSAIDs stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory devices. So you're talking about ibuprofen or Aleve or acetaminophen, and this is one of the things that I get really excited about, that we can actually perhaps, because people are using them, Ellen, for, I mean, I got to tell you, it's like, hangover or headaches or period cramps, and it's the prolific use, especially of acetaminophen, talk about liver damage. Like, that's certainly on my radar as having some concern.
Well, that actually is coming out big time through the FDA, saying that not only are there, like, hundreds of thousands of cases of liver damage linked each year to acetaminophen, and let's remind our listeners that the commercial name for that is Tylenol. This is not some weird unknown substance. Probably everybody knows what that is. But now they're also linking it to a rare but dangerous and possibly fatal skin condition.
Right. Yeah, and you know, you talk about a risk-benefit ratio. Boy, it's just not there for me, not for using those oral agents. Occasionally, I got to tell you, and occasionally, you know, I will take an ibuprofen for something, but I feel that I know that my use isn't chronic. I know that I still feel sort of like my risk-benefit ratio for that. That's fine, but it's kind of like how I talk about sometimes, you know, these toxic exposures or the environmental exposures that we have. You know, it's not like we're in the Silkwood days or the Chernobyl or what have you, but it is the overall low-level exposure that it happens on a daily basis, that's chronic, that accumulates over time. And I feel like there's so many different things that if we could just look and where we have control and start reducing exposure across the board, especially with oral medications, then our overall health as we age is going to continue to be better.
Well, that's always true. Now, you enjoy discussing mechanisms of action. You know, you brought that up earlier. So how exactly does comfrey work, and especially, you know, on a topical level, how is it effective against all these different kinds of pains and really help to enhance overall healing?
Well, you know, one of the comfrey's biggest healing ingredients is called allantoin. And it's actually known as a cell proliferator, believe it or not, a cell proliferator. And it basically encourages cells to grow at a rapid rate, not in sort of a chaotic, you know, sort of cancer cell manner, but in an orderly, sort of orchestrated fashion that makes wound healing faster. It also enhances white blood cell production. It can help ward off infections and diseases, and that's pretty much one of the biggest ingredients of comfrey that really gets the job done and is so effective in that wound healing.
I know. It's amazing. I mean, I've used it myself. One of the warnings that I've given people with it is that it causes healthy skin growth to occur at such a rapid level that if you put it on, let's say, a rather deep wound, the top of the wound might heal while the bottom has not healed yet, and then it stops the draining. So that's an untoward effect. So
right.
That's how fast it works.
You know, one of the best testimonials that I've had from this particular comfrey cream, the trauma plant, is there is a young kid. He had a wart on his hand, and it was burned off, and it would not heal. It was sort of open, and it wouldn't heal. Used, you know, salicylic acid, many, many different things. And then finally I said, you know, why don't you put a little bit of this on there? And next, the very next day, it was just, it's amazing to see how powerful, how quickly, that cell, like you said, growth can happen. It's amazing.
So it's wonderful on things that you're trying to heal, but what kind of effect does it have? Like you're saying, it's also good for pain. So what kind of anti-inflammatory or anti-swelling effects does it have?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the weekend warrior cure because studies, I mean, we've got studies that show that comfrey can be antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, prevents and reduces inflammation in the cells. It's an anodyne. You know, it relieves that pain. It can be antiseptic. It's a demulcent because it can soothe pain and inflamed tissues. It's an expectorant. There's so many different things, different, I would say, properties of comfrey that have been scientifically studied. And so that's why across the board, you know, when I was writing the book, and we were reviewing it, the front of the cover says four sports injuries, sprains, strains, bruises, wounds, back and joint pain, and more. Because I felt like I couldn't put everything in there that this could be used for. One of the things that I've done with women now, one of the things I think that it's pretty difficult to get a handle on, and it takes some time, is migraine headaches. You know, really trying to identify and treat the cause of migraines, whether they're cyclical and hormonal, or you know, if there's it's induced by food sensitivities, etc. But being able to take a little bit of the trauma plant and the comfrey cream, and I have people just use them in the temples, just use them right in the temples, and do a little bit of massage when that migraine headache is coming on, people have been having really great results with that. And once again, anything that we can do that's safe and that's going to decrease the use of oral medications, I'm a big fan of.
And it does, because if you can bring down the inflammation by using something topical such as comfrey, then you can use less of those systemic medications, which have, you know, those horrendous negative effects that you talked about.
Yeah.
And we do want to remind our listeners that if you'd like to call in, we're going to go to another little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And this is a break where you can hear about all the wonderful shows that they have here on the network, Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion and we'll also take your calls. You can call in if you'd like. The call-in number is 888-874-4888. And we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us. We bring you lots of different radio shows, including The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and you can find out more at naturalnurse.com. If you click on schedules, you'll see we have lots of on-ground events. As a matter of fact, right while we're doing the show today, Dr. Zamprone has our yearly group of individuals who want to study with native shamanic indigenous healers, and we go every year to areas that are very much off the grid, except actually now they do have internet there, which is amazing. And this year he is on the northern coast of Jamaica with the Maroon Native Bush Doctors there, where we gather natural medicine, learn how it was done centuries ago, and also, of course, just have a wonderful time on the north coast of Jamaica. We also have coming up the American Herbalist Guild. We have a monthly meeting, the Long Island chapter. There's also a New York chapter that you are welcome to join in on. And we have our Chinatown Herb Walk coming up. On a Chinatown Herb Walk, we actually go into Chinatown and learn about tongue and pulse diagnosis. We learn about how to use Chinese herbs and have a sort of a day in another country, only it's right here in New York. And then we have lots of other events coming up all the time. Just go to naturalnurse.com and click on schedule. If you're interested in education, click on education and you'll see that we also teach an herbal certification course where you can get a certificate in natural medicine. That's not a license like our guest Dr. Holly has, but it is a certification that you can use to begin to take care of yourself and your family the natural way. Today we have as our guest Dr. Holly Lucille, naturopathic physician. She is nationally recognized and she is not only a doctor but a television and radio host. And she's written many things, including the book that we're talking about today, The Healing Power of Trauma Comfrey. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Holly.
Ellen, always. It's such a pleasure.
Now, I told our listeners that they can call in, and you can call in, listeners. The number to call in is 888-874-4888. And while we were on break, I got a tweet or whatever you call it, of a listener calling in, and they wanted to know if they're taking other regular mainstream pharmaceutical agents, medications. Can they also use trauma comfrey externally, or is there any times where that would be contraindicated? And that question was for Dr. Lucille.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think that it's an exciting one for me because, you know, listen, I think there's value in all systems of medicine. You know, I shattered my shoulder a couple years ago, and I was very thankful for Lunesta to help me sleep because I had to heal. I had major surgery. I was very thankful for my orthopedic surgeon to reduce me just to my shoulder, right, and Vicodin for pain, et cetera. But for me, I think there's always, for the chronic uses of medications, I always strive to get an exit strategy because I know the body can heal. I know that if we just understand obstacles to cure, I know that we can live without these medications and without the side effects of these medications for the most part. So I'm always looking for an exit strategy. You know, what can we do? What can we do in that person's situation to either remove obstacles? Maybe there's some deficiencies. Maybe there's some excesses. So to your tweeter's point, I think that absolutely it would be indicated that you actually start using something that's topical, that's safe, that's effective, and at the same time work to decrease the use of those potentially harmful, especially in long periods of use, so chronic use, oral non-steroidal anti-inflammatory devices or other things like we had talked about. So there's no contraindications. I actually think it would be an indication, and then though at the same time work to get off the potentially harmful substances.
So you think it's okay to use along with it? There's no interaction if they're using
it
topically?
No, not at all.
Now, what about the use with children and the elderly?
So for the most part, I have kind of put in writing and in my clinical thoughts that this is very safe for pretty much anybody over four. Anybody over 4 years old. So 4 to 94 for sure. And especially the elderly. I mean, because, you know, you think about not only the allantoin, which right restimulates the building of cells and regenerates that damaged tissue in like record time, but you've got choline as well that helps injured blood vessels. If you think about the elderly and how quickly they can bruise because their skin has been thinning, it helps, you know, the choline, I think, that helps with nerve endings too. And so sometimes people get that pain, the neuropathy. So I've used this successfully for that. The rosmarinic acid that's in it. I mean, basically, I think when you look at this particular comfrey, it's like a choreographed complex. It's not just one thing that does the job, right? And I like synergistic compounds of this plant that create all of those wonderful uses for it. And so for the elderly, this is a must.
Well, since it's a skin healer, would it have any effects in terms of helping with wrinkles and other skin conditions?
Well, I'm putting myself through the trial right now. I'll let you know.
Because it sounds like it would, right?
I know. You think about it. I mean, certainly it hasn't been clinically studied for aesthetic uses, but I got to tell you.
No,
I mean,
it hasn't been. It has not been studied for that. Yeah.
No, it hasn't.
Okay,
but I'm basically doing my own in-home study. I'll let you know.
Well, for one thing, it's interesting to me because herbalists have always used comfrey with honor, and probably because it did have the particular alkaloids in it that could be toxic with long-term or high-amount use, even though it's widely used as an herbal medicine. But it would be used like that for a traumatic injury or for short-term. It was not the kind of herb that was usually used for ongoing application. So now that the PA-free comfrey is available, perhaps it would be useful for that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that that's a really good point.
It'll be interesting to see how your experimentation goes.
Yeah, okay. Next time we see each other, I'll take a before and after picture.
It sounds good. Now, you have so much information in your little book, The Healing Power of Trauma Comfrey, and you have right on the front, use this powerful herb to treat sports injuries, sprains, strains, bruises, wounds, back and joint pain, and more. That's the kind of thing I often use rescue remedy for. Would it be something that you could use along with rescue remedy?
Sure. I mean, I use rescue remedy, a lovely Bach flower remedy, excuse me. You could certainly use that along with it. I mean, I use rescue remedy for a lot of things. I mean, for my animals, people who are going through anxiety, concomitantly, to get people in a better healing space. A lot of times when people are in fight or flight all the time or have chronic stressors, it's impossible to get them to heal because healing is a long-term building sort of thing that your body does. And when you your body feels like you're running from a bear, it's going to shut that down and just try to get you safe. And, you know, we have this vicious cycle. And so I use rescue remedy a lot for that. But you certainly could use rescue remedy along, because I think that in my knowledge or my perspective, the rescue remedy works more energetically, if that's safe to say. And
that's probably true. The thing is that what rescue remedy does in a cream form does take down, let's say, black and blue marks will tend to disappear. Traumatic swelling will tend to disappear. So it seems like they would be very compatible, particularly as an outside applicant.
Yeah, and I like how you think, because who knows, if when you have a little bit of knowledge about these things and perhaps use them together, I mean, the trauma plant, the comfrey, works so quickly, but you can even get better results perhaps by combining it with the rescue remedy.
Absolutely. So I was wondering if you had, any experience with that.
Yeah, and that's the fun thing about being your quote-unquote own primary care provider, right? Because we're able to just experiment, hopefully safely, at home with some of these things and take good care of yourself and sort of decrease your dependency and need on your doctors, which is kind of what I try to do, is put myself out of business.
Well, you don't, though, because there's always someone else who needs education.
Right.
It's not a matter of needing someone to take care of you, because ultimately only you can make those changes that are going to lead to better overall health. A physician like yourself can be useful as a teacher and a guidance counselor, so to speak, about what the best choices might be, and especially like you do, in-depth diagnostic testing to a much higher degree than even a conventional physician, so you can find things before they're a big problem.
Yeah. And then, well, you're right back to our, I mean, one of the other tenets of naturopathic medicine is, you think about doctor in Latin means docere, to teach, and I think that's the key. That's the key. I don't want to just, have doctor's orders, right? Or I want people to really understand and have an attachment to something so that they can make it their own, so they really get it. You know, that whole idea of really facilitating understanding. So, like, it's that aha that people have where it's theirs then, I do that a lot with people that, think, it's a great, Ellen, it's a great, it's still to this day, I'll be out lecturing very astute, people, and I'll say, hey, how many people think eggs are dairy? Don't think about it, just raise your hand if you do. And, it's highly educated. People fly their hands up in the air like eggs are dairy. And it's so interesting to me because, why do we think that? Well, we think that because we've been shown that if you look at the American Dairy Association as the copyright on the four food groups, when I was going to school, that's what we sort of had as our guideline, right? And the eggs in the picture in the little box sat there with the glass jar of milk and the butter. And from then on, eggs are dairy, eggs are dairy. And when you think about it, that's kind of crazy. Eggs are little chickens, and they're not dairy at all. But you see how powerful these messages are, right? And
right.
Those are the things that I want people to go, oh, okay, I got it. That makes sense. And they woke up a little bit. So I love that.
So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. The show is actually coming to an end, but I would like you to give out the best place that people can find the book, The Healing Power of Trauma Comfrey, and can find you, Dr. Holly Lucille.
Well, both places, you can go to one site, and that's mine. It's just www. dr as in doctor, Dr. Holly, HollyLucille.com. And I love this book and this plant and this product so much that I actually give the book away free. So you can just, it's a downloadable thing that you can just go to the store at the back of my book, or excuse me, my website, and you can find more about me there. You can, of course, follow me on all of those fun little things that people can follow on these days, and you can also get the healing power of trauma comfrey.
Well, thank you so much. We've been speaking to Dr. Holly Lucille. That's Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, Lucille, L-U-C-I-L-L-E. And you can check today's show. It will be on the archive starting tomorrow at prn.fm. Go to Natural Nurse, and you will see all the archives posted there, along with Dr. Holly Lucille's contact information, and you can just click on that and go there. So until next week, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, and for myself and Dr. Zamperone and the whole NaturalNurse.com team, we're hoping that you stay healthy.